You're putting an eye out now.
Go ahead, shoot.
You're at the top.
What's this?
They're squalling.
On my list.
They're not going to make it.
Okay, I've moved you up. You know, clink.
Is that the hit list?
No.
Is that the hit list?
No.
They ask you.
Is that the hit list?
I'd ask you to
volunteer.
Oh.
Are we recording? Oh, I won't say
anything.
You can record. Okay. I thought I saw a truck outside.
He's out there someplace.
Larry said he's out there somewhere.
Where's his item?
Those are your three choices, Brian. I said, otherwise, you're going to constantly lose officers every 2 years.
Yeah. Hello.
You're losing.
How are you? Oh, my. Look at how hard it's raining now. It's a good thing I came in when I did.
I said, and if you murder.
Okay, here we go, guys.
There'll be some defective thing.
Hurry up, Terry.
Hurry up.
I'm ready.
It's already standing. Town council meeting for August the 20th is called to order. If everyone would please rise and move to pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I could get everyone to stand for a moment in silence, remembrance. Thank you. Do we have any additions or deletions to the published agenda?
I'd like to recommend that we table item 8A until next meeting. We'll accept some technical amendments from our consultants and rather than have to come back and change the ordinance shortly after that.
Okay.
Anyone else have any amendments? Could we have a motion to accept the amended agenda, please?
I'll make a motion. We accept the amended agenda.
Second?
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
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 The minutes are in the packet. Could we have a motion to accept the last minutes?
I'd like to make one change in the minutes that I noticed. on the moratorium for nightclubs, cocktail lounges, bars, and billiard parlor. It has on page 19 that Councilman Chervenak made the motion. I believe I did. So I'm not quite sure who seconded it. Okay.
Okay, are there any other changes to the minutes? Can we have a motion to accept, please?
I'll make a motion. We accept the amended minutes of August 6th.
Second. I did.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
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 Mission passed. Reports, bills, and financial statements. Mr. Hogg?
explained that to me. The town staff has been busily killing trees in the back, in addition to the current status of our bank account. Mr. Store has given you a both a summary revenue report and a detailed budget report that you can peruse at your leisure or ask questions to the finance committee whenever you'd like to proceed. I guess the basic shorthand news is that our revenues are running pretty much where we anticipated them. A little bit off the transfer taxes, but that seems to be picking up. Our expenditures are pretty much on target. Actually, most departments are slightly less than their budgeted amounts. And that's probably all we need to spend time on at this point. But we will be giving you a detailed financial report of this type for the second meeting of every month.
Great.
Question. Mr. Huggett, is it, you mentioned trees. And we do have a good chairman of the tree committee. Hopefully planting 1,000 trees in our community,
he's
which I
laud. Loser. He knows I'm mad at him.
I laud that. But this is amazing. And we get this every month. I was wondering if, I mean, with modern technology, if there's any way that we could possibly get this in a website, a secure website online, that we could peruse it.
I'm sure we
can
do that for you if you would like. We could email it to you. Put it on.
Well, I mean, but what about instead of emailing it? I mean, can we view it somewhere on a secure site?
I don't know why we couldn't. I'll talk to him.
And that would save a lot of personnel time.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Paul.
I was only kidding. But,
it's heavy.
Suggestion? Bad suggestion? I mean.
Great suggestion.
It's a good suggestion.
Fine with me. I heard that. Then I can print it out myself. I'll cut the trees down.
All right. No problem.
Okay. Town attorney, any reports?
No, ma'am. I think Ms. Schrader's been handling the shop while I was out of town. So.
Chief Baldwin?
Here you have in your course tonight, the police report. Just two issues I brought to your attention. The monthly stats. Overall for the year, our complaint load is up about 10%. However, we did see about a 3% decrease in July 07 compared to July 06. The biggest areas where we're seeing increases are domestic complaints and unfortunately, burglaries are up a little bit. The good news in that is that our detectives are clearing most of those burglaries with arrests. I did note that we haven't seen any patterns or any indications that there's a group working in town. That they tend to be hit or miss kinds of things. Also, our participation in National Night Out, Kurt was here in Smyrna on August 7th, and good turnout. Appreciate those who came by.
The National Night Out was very nice. We had a very nice turnout, and it was very, very nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Town Manager, Mr. Hug?
We have my report in the packet, two items. On the table tonight for action is a resolution adopting the National Incident Management System meeting one of the requirements from the Federal Act. And the other is just the auditor is asked to delay their presentation on it until the first meeting in September.
Committee reports. Charter review?
Yes, charter review has met twice, the formal committee, and we're reviewing the charter step by step, sentence by sentence, section by section. It's going to be slower going than I initially thought. The schedule I created was a little aggressive as the meetings as demonstrated the past two meetings. What my suggestion would be is that I'm taking notes of every meeting. I think that probably I should send them all to all the council people as we go along so that your thoughtful consideration could be ongoing.
You could email them.
Yeah, email them. That's email. That'd be fine. I'd email them. Yeah, with safe paper. The second thing is that the whole schedule was to accomplish the task by January so that the state legislature could act on the recommendations of our council. That may be a little aggressive. Maybe February might be a better target goal. But I believe that the council will have to have a workshop, or a special meeting, actually, a special meeting devoted entirely to the charter changes that are coming your way, or that the recommendation of the committee. And again, we're pulling out a lot of good thoughts, I believe, and teasing out a lot of things that I think are important.
The question, if any of us, and you know, I know we come to the meetings, but if we have something that we would like you to look at, if we email it to you or something, you would look at
absolutely.
Take care of it?
Absolutely.
Because I tell you, I would like to see, and this is just a thought, is people that own businesses in town that does not have a right to vote, you know, one vote in town, I would like to see. You know, if these people, good example is like Joe Renzi with BCP. He has a big impact, you know, in town, but he don't have a vote in town. You know what I mean? Businesses should have at least one vote, even though they don't live in town. They have a big impact in town.
As long as they own property.
Yeah.
Business property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If any of those suggestions, everything's wide open. And I think that's why I think we're going to have a workshop or a special meeting. The other thing is, actually, I'd probably be sending we talked about this as far as our town attorney and whether or not we should bundle our suggestions or whatever at this point, and how do we legally make this the most efficient process. You know, and we're still debating that. I don't know, Terry, if you have any suggestions as to.
I had a couple. One is, as far as the notes is on, just so when I have a FOIA issue, I'm sure that the town council will get a copy of what you're going to send, and that should be available. Probably the town council should print it out, so that's available for inspection to a citizen.
I should send it to Carol, then town council will get it.
That's just a minor thing, so we're not having like cyberspace meetings that other people in the public can't participate in. Or so the second thing I would suggest very much that rather than going through this whole process and then sending it to me, that possibly I get a copy of the same comment so that I can keep track of things like the issue you just brought up. That's not as simple an issue as it might appear. And then the third thing I just want to mention is January, February, March. I mean, unless we have a real super relationship with both our legislators and they really need to push this through, it's probable that no matter when we get it ready in January or February, it's still not going to get introduced until April or May. I mean,
I was talking about our process, getting it to the legislature. Not the final process, which is through the state legislature.
What I'm saying is you have more time, I think, than you think, because I've never seen charters, unless it's, you know, extreme urgent matter where they will push it through the General Assembly in the spring. It almost seems like it always waits till June, no matter when you.
So
you probably got a little more time than you think.
Okay.
I thought the Charter Review Committee went very well, and we got in. We did take a little bit more time, but
yeah, we had our second meeting just before this meeting.
It was very good, and it's open to the public. And anybody has any suggestions, please get them to us, because the charter does go through, as you just heard, it's quite a detailed thing. So if you want to make any suggestions, please do that. Personnel committee meeting?
We had a personnel committee meeting on July 11th. The minutes are in your package, and it's reference to an item that's on the agenda tonight with the payroll week change. We will have a next personnel will be September the 12th, and then we'll have a business development meeting September the 6th at 8 in the morning.
Public safety. You want to take it?
Public safety committee met on August 9th. We discussed in some length the monthly stats. There was some concern that was presented in reference to the increase in domestic complaints. Councilman Thornton reported on the negotiations in reference to the school resource officer. I'll let him handle that at some point tonight. I presented a brief update on the police building. We do have three bids, and I believe that's on the agenda this evening. You talked about assuming police duties for Belmont Hall, and at the committee's direction was that we would not do that until such time as Belmont Hall is annexed into town, if that's the state's choice. I can report to council I have informed the Capitol Police that we cannot perform that service for them. They are now aware of that. We talked about the issue of parking on sidewalks, especially as it relates to Bonair. The committee agreed at this point that we don't need to take any particular action right now. I have direct air officers. If there is one car parked in a parking space in Bonair, if that car hangs over the sidewalk just a little bit, that they're not to ticket it for that particular violation. We talked about some of the traffic concerns on West Mount Vernon Street, loitering in the area of Four Corners, and Councilman Brown is suggesting that we look at the possibility of instituting a curfew from the town of Smyrna. And he has offered to provide us with some examples of existing curfews in the state of Delaware.
Thank you. The Ethics Commission met on August the 6th, and the minutes are in our packet. Did you have anything on that, Mr. Hoggery?
Yeah.
Okay. This portion of the meeting
The Finance Committee had a meeting on August 14th. Several things were discussed in the recommendations of the committee will come up later in the meeting. Our next meeting, we're going to have a special meeting to review the audit and catch up on some of the things that we didn't get a chance to get to this meeting, and that's going to be September 29th at 5:00, and the public is more than welcome to come.
Did we miss any other committees? Sorry about that. All right. This portion of the meeting is open to the public. And if you would like to step up to the microphone and give your name and address, you have 3 minutes. And we ask you to please try to stay to the 3 minutes. And the council is not obligated to give an answer tonight, but this is your opportunity to address the council. Would anyone like to step forward?
Hi, my name is Dan Semnick. I'm representing the Schoolhouse Village Homeowners Association.
The mic on. Try bang on it.
Okay. We just have some ongoing traffic concerns on our street, and as a community, we're trying to keep up, you know, our communication with the city and see what's going on with that. And what we did is we attended a safety meeting, I think it was 2 or 3 meetings ago, and it was brought up that there was a potential, not saying that it would happen or not happen, that the street could be closed where it used to be closed, and they wanted to get our opinion of our community. And what we did is we went around door to door getting a petition signed saying if the people of the community would be for or against it. We were unable to get to all 40 homes due to bad timing, people not being home, But out of the 28 homes we did contact, 26 of them were in favor of, if that was a potential remedy for our situation, that they would be in favor of closing the street at the Ronald Lane, Greens Branch, the new Greens Branch section. And I would just like to submit that, you know, as our community opinion. And if we can basically keep working towards solving that problem, our community would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me just comment on that. On that situation a little bit. We've had some preliminary design work done on Greens Branch and that whole area. I think we met with some of you, or you saw us out there doing whatever. There are a couple of things we're going to be doing when as the staff gets time, the public works staff gets time. A number of places out in that whole area, there are intersections and crosswalks that aren't fully marked in many cases because there's a handicap ramp on one side and a curb on the other side, or you know, they're not continuous. And in order to put the actual crossings on the road, they have to be continuous. So, on our list of to-do projects is to create the handicap ramps on all the corners of all the intersections, and then put the cross hatching and striping to indicate you know, crosswalks and what have you. Whether that will actually slow anybody down or not, I don't know, but it's a psychological, if nothing else, and it does certainly make it possible for the police department to rather unequivocally say, you know, you ran through an intersection or a stop line, because I found out the little white stop lines on the road really don't mean anything to anybody. They just, I don't know what they expect they are, but they don't stop. We have looked at a couple solutions for the intersection at High Street and Greens Branch. Unfortunately, the ones that look really good to us won't work because there's some private property that actually the parking lot or parking spaces in front of the townhouses actually belong to the townhouses. So we're going to have to rethink that a little bit. And we probably will at some time try to narrow the roadway a couple of places where it looks like that would lend itself to you know, something we could try fairly quickly. So we are still pursuing some options, and you know, closing the road is probably rather drastic, and I suspect the fire company and others might have some problems. But you know, one way or the other, we're still going to keep addressing that issue. So I appreciate your comments, and we know we haven't forgotten yet. Just because I haven't seen you recently, we haven't forgotten. Okay.
Would anyone else like to address the council? I've seen no one come forward. We will close the portion of the meeting. And I'm going to back up one since presiding officer was not listed. I was trying to go by the list here.
We were trying to get through the meeting early tonight.
I know. I'm going to hurry. You were the one that told me to do this.
I know.
Just wanted to let everyone in town know, I'm sure you haven't heard, that National Geographic has designated Smyrna as one of the top 11 small towns in the country for adventure. So it was a surprise to us. We only found out about it the day before the magazine actually went on the shelves. But it was quite an honor for Smyrna. And when I first heard about it, I was a little bit surprised. But when I thought about it, I see how we fit. It's not just the town of Smyrna. It's the Smyrna area. So when you think about it, we have boating, fishing, hunting, crabbing. We have trails, bicycling. We have a lot of things right here in the Smyrna area. So I consider National Geographic one of the more elite magazines, and I think it was a real honor for Smyrna.
Very good.
You have anything to say?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, under old business, 8A, do we need to vote on that or to table?
No, because we did that as part of the amendment, so we're fine on that.
Okay, 8B, recommendation of the Personnel Committee.
All right, on your table tonight is a copy of the July 11th, 2007 Personnel Committee meeting minutes. We have debated with the Personnel Committee for probably
a good couple of months, if not longer, shifting the town employee pay week so that it actually has a built-in one-week lag as opposed to actually having to turn the payroll in before people have completed their work for the week, which creates problems if somebody, particularly an hourly employee, for whatever reason, doesn't come to work or works overtime or something of that nature. It also builds a better accountability into the payroll system. At the July 11th Personnel Committee meeting, there was a motion made by Mr. Rebar, seconded by Mr. Thornton, to adopt the one-week lag, which would basically mean that during the course of the year we would move, we'd actually have an extra pay week. People wouldn't get paid double, but there'd be an extra pay week that would result in your paychecks actually lagging the amount of time you work by 1 week as opposed to the current structure. In order to put that into effect, we need a motion from council to approve it. Mr. Presley, I don't know whether you want to say anything further or not.
No.
Do we have a motion to approve 8B?
I will make a motion to approve 8B, the pay week change.
Second.
Discussion? Will that bring any hardship to any?
No, the way we're going to do it is we're actually going to phase it in 1 day at a time over a period of 5 weeks. So it'll require a little bit of adjustment, but it won't deprive. It was one of the issues we discussed at the Personnel Committee in detail, that if you simply skipped a week, those employees who depend on their paycheck could be hurt. So I think we've made some arrangements to work around that, or at least minimize the impact. We also confirmed with the Police Employees Union and the Electric Employees Union that our union reps that was an acceptable mechanism for adjusting the pay scale or pay system, pay schedule eventually.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Just to let the rest of the council know that weren't there at the meeting. A lot of thought has gone into this, so it doesn't affect the employees. Just wanted everybody to know that.
Councilwoman Presley.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Councilman
Thornton.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen.
Aye.
Councilman
Jordan. Aye.
Councilman Brown.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Motion passes. 8D, new police facility.
Yes, the police building committee met on August 13th, and actually I've seen on the agenda, this is in two places, so in the essence of time, I'm going to cover them both, if that's permissible. Mr. Hugg?
That's fine.
Okay. We met on August 13th, and the purpose of the meeting was to go over three proposals from three different design firms. For a proposal to design a police addition to the existing station over on Glenwood Avenue, as well as give us cost estimates to put a bid package together. We received three estimates, one from Design Collaborative Incorporated of Wilmington in the amount of $23,500. We received one from Tiva Ball Associates of Wilmington in the amount of $10,800. And we received one from Benedetto Associates of Hamilton, New Jersey, in the amount of $7,500. The committee went through these item by item and found that some of the bids or some of the proposals were lacking. The unanimous decision of the committee that evening was to propose that we go with Tiva Ball Associates of Wilmington. And their proposal covered everything that we wanted them to do and was not to exceed $10,800. So having said that, it could come in less than that, but they will not exceed that amount of money. At this point, I'm recommending to the council that we approve this this bid. We have, I think, budgeted in the budget $50,000 to cover those costs, and I think this is a good proposal. Again, we went through it item by item and found that they were the best design firm for our money. So I would make a motion that we accept the proposal from Tiva Ball proceed with the design and cost estimates for the new police facility.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I guess I sort of have a little problem here. I mean, why are we doing this now? What is the time? I've never seen anything presented to council that says, okay, here's our time frame for building a new police station. I mean, we don't have a public works building, you know, yet. So we don't know where the lot is or what we have available, as far as I know. Maybe I'm displaying my ignorance, but I guess what I'm saying is, why don't we? You're saying yes.
okay. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's okay. But what I'm saying is, I guess I don't understand why we're doing this now. And what is our time frame for the new building? I understood the time frame for the public works building. I don't know the time frame for the.
With any construction, there's so much planning time associated with it. The public works building has probably been in the planning stages for a good 4 years, 3 years at least. The police building probably at least a year, and this is basically a first step in the design process of the building. It's going to take probably 6 or 8 months, up to a year, to get the final designs done and everything, and it might take another 2 or 3 years to actually build it. So this is a first step, is all it is.
I guess what I'm trying to avoid is the fact that we put X amount of dollars into a building prior without, like thoughtful consideration, maybe, whatever. And I'm just wondering if, I don't want to see this as the incremental process that spends a little bit more without us really.
I think the answer to the question, Doug, is the fact that we know wherever the new public works building ends up, it's going to leave where it is. And our plan is to utilize that footprint for an addition to the existing police department. We know that.
We know that for a fact.
Well, that's
we exactly I know we it. Had agreed we at our meetings we had agreed, and when I was on the committee for the police, why we decided to do this now was to be able to just get out and see what prices were, so we could decide as the council and a budget committee to see if it's going to go in 2008 budget, 2009, 2000, and try to decide where we were going to be able to fit it in. We wanted to know exactly how much was it going to cost us. We knew that at the committee meetings we had decided and brought it to council that we were going to put it at the public works building.
And this question, believe it or not, was raised in the committee.
So I guess what I'm saying is I don't disagree with that at all. I don't think I was ever a participant or I can remember a vote that we said, yep, it's going to be there. We did?
Yes, we did. It was
recommended in 2006.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Mr. Hall and all was, I don't know, is he still on the committee? Well, he was on the committee.
Yes, he is. He's still on the committee.
Because he actually said that I can remember him having to have to go back to Bon Air and kind of upset them people because they wanted it out there, and we all had just decided that, and Mr. Hall included, decided that the public works building now would be the place to do it.
Okay.
This is, just to alleviate some fears, this is a much, it's a much more thoughtful process. We are taking a lot of time with it. The building has gone through several transformations as far as floor plans and things like that to cut costs and everything. So, and like I said, the whole process from last year up to this year with the 2006 committee and the 2007 committee has been very sure-footed, very determined and very thoughtful. So we get the most for our money.
The only other comment I'd like to make is company that was chosen is the company that did the design for the Christiana Care building, and the people on the committee felt that that's something that we know the quality of the work. We know what their work is. So that was another factor that helped lean towards them. So we had a motion, and we had a second, right?
Yes.
Mayor Stonewall?
Aye.
Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Councilman Mullen?
Aye.
Councilman Bobinet?
Aye.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Presley, aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Jump up and down, Chief?
Not yet.
You got a long way to go.
Wait till we dig further.
When you hand him the keys, then he'll be jumping.
Yeah, then he'll jump up and down. 8E, adopt the NIMS policy.
About time to chew on a lifesaver. As most of council knows, staff and management have been going through the incident management, incident command system, National Incident Management Program training administered by DEMA on behalf of the Federal Department of Homeland Security. One of the requirements imposed by the presidential directive that established the National Incident Management System is that state and local jurisdictions must, by a date certain, and we believe that date's the end of this year, agree, among other things, to adopt the basic tenets of the incident command system and to complete the training required by the National Incident Management System, or NIMS. What you have before you is a resolution that, in effect, adopts those principles. I will call your attention to the third, whereas the date should be February 28th, 2005, not 2008, but a little typo. In any case, what this does is agree as a town that we will follow these requirements and use the National Incident Management System as our mechanism for responding to either man-made or natural catastrophes, including acts of terrorism, storm damage, a whole host of potential incidents that might involve the community or our need to respond to some event. That's basically all it says. A lot of whereases, but basically the operative language is the part that talks about directive required federal departments and agencies to make adoption of the NIMS by state and local organizations a condition for federal preparedness assistance beginning in fiscal year 2005. And that's what we're doing here.
Do we have a motion to accept the NIMS policy?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? The only discussion I'll give is the classes have been very, very informative. Of course, you know that I'm 100% behind it. This was another interesting thing, talking about the police station, that had come up about responders in time of an emergency being concerned about their family and being available to help out with the emergency. And they were talking about a lot of the towns are making room in the police stations for providing facilities so that the officers or the people responding to a disaster would be able to have their family with them. And that would alleviate their worry about where their family is or about not having enough respond people. So that was really interesting, too.
All right, Chief. I'm just going to bring this up. I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Having a little bit of knowledge of NIMS and National Response Plan, as you know, are you going to effectively write a policy about the use of 10 codes versus plain talk and when? And
we currently have a policy that allows officers to use plain English.
If they said it, okay. All right. Another question.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like to reopen discussion, but I guess we're in the voting phase right now. But, I'll have to say yes.
Yes.
Woman White.
Yes.
Presley, aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes. One other thing I have to say about NIMS is we went to a conference where they had the gentleman from New Orleans there, and if it hadn't been for the NIMS program, it would have been much worse than it was. They said that they had done the NIMS program, and they had a lot of the things in place, the plans were in place, and that's part of why things went as well as they did in New Orleans. So it is very important.
I just would say that's my problem.
What?
When you set New Orleans as a standard of how well things went, I think we're in trouble. And you know,
well, that's why
I have some problems with the whole thing. Is that,
well, you need to come to the classes.
No, hold on a second. I'm talking about the feds, the state, the relationship of all the political entities, and who controls what to whom, and what and why and how. And I mean, there's a lot of mistakes made in New Orleans, and I know what they're trying to do, but I think that a more candid discussion needs to be completed with all the political entities involved, because if somebody stands up and says, I'm in charge, get out of my town, we don't want you state guys, or we don't want you feds in our town, I mean, then... I mean, or whatever.
Well, part of NIMS is what's called unified command in the incident command system, whereby everybody is a stakeholder and the different entities act as one, and they make decisions together. So I've been through the training many times, so I have an appreciation for how it works. And basically, this is a... The National Response Plan is a plan for both local and state agencies to come together and work as one. And it's really a formality when you look at the Presidential Directive 5, which mandates this thing, because all it says is you will act in a cooperative effort, and basically everybody has a stake in the outcome. But the main thing is, if you want to get funding, you got to comply with this National Incident Management System, and that's where the federal government can dictate what you do. But again, having gone through this training many times and given the training, it's a valuable exercise, and there's more positive than there are negatives.
At the end, they have charts that they're working through all this with us. So when we complete the class, everybody will know what their job is, where their place is. Like I told them, if they want me to go sit in the corner, that's fine. All I want to know is I'm supposed to go sit in that corner. I just want to know what my place is and where I'm supposed to be. Because in a time of disaster or in time of emergency, that's not the time to start finding out who, you know, if you have any authority or where you're supposed to be. So I think, you know, in every situation is different. There's going to be lessons learned in everything that happens. But it's a start, and I don't see how we could go through a disaster without it. I don't want to be involved in a disaster without something like this. Mr. Hugg, you were there. Do you have any comments?
No, I think the some of the more important aspects of the program and the training are just, you know, agreement on, you know, a consistent set of job titles, organizational structure, definitions of terms, the point that Councilman Brown brought up about not using the old 10 codes, but, you know, talking in plain English, things that I mean, even if in an emergency everybody sort of, you know, disregards the NIMS manual and moves forward, the fact that we're all speaking the same language and, you know, the incident commander means the same thing in every case, and the liaison means the same thing. I think we'll save a great deal of the frustration that sometimes comes when, you know, it's not so much a who's in charge, but, you know, what is their specific job. And I think it's valuable, even though it's a long couple of days each time we go through the training.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. 9A, removal of inactive committee members.
Question. Mm-hmm. Who put this on the agenda?
I mentioned it to Carol, so I guess I did.
Okay.
Well, I know that Councilman Presley has had this, has brought this issue up before, too, so it's not new.
When I appointed the committee, or when I recommended the committees at the reorganizational meeting, one of the things that I had asked for was that we keep attendance, and people that are on the committee that aren't active after they miss two meetings without legitimate excuse, that they would be removed from the committee to give someone else an opportunity that really wants to serve and be part of the committee. We've had a couple cases where, like on the Parks and Recreation Committee, there were two people that were put on the committee in the beginning and since have both gotten evening jobs. So they called and they said that they were not going to be able to be part of the committee because of their work schedule. So we have two on Parks and Rec that we would like to remove.
Can you just give us the names and what you're removing them from?
Okay, the only one I have is Parks and Rec, and that would be Charlie.
Well, you're not technically removing them. They're resigning.
Yeah, they resign.
Well, yeah, they resign.
Yeah.
So.
But if there's any committees where the people are not coming,
showing up.
Yeah, we would like to remove them and have the opportunity to put other people on the committee.
Are you, I guess the other question is, are committees limited by number? I don't remember that they actually are. I mean, by tradition, we've said that there are five as a committee, but
I don't think there's anybody to remove at this point, is there?
Did you have anybody?
No, not yet.
So it would just be, so we're, right now, Parks and Recreation is really short. There was a lot of...
Do you have a motion for any new appointments, then?
Well, no, I don't for tonight. That's what I'm asking. If any of the council people or if any of the public are interested, we have some openings on the Parks and Recreation Committee. We weren't sure if the committee was only going to do events until the end of summer, but Finance Committee has... you want to bring that up later on?
Well, okay. We have just closing. That one that we'll hopefully at least carry through the fall that I'm coming up with.
Okay.
On Parks and Rec, so.
Okay. So we do have at least two openings, and then we had two people end up in the hospital at the same time. So we were down to between two and three people to do all the events with, and it's tough. So if anyone knows of anyone that's interested or if anyone is interested, please let us know. 9B, recommendations from committees. Personnel Committee.
That's you.
Wake up.
I'm busy.
Recommendation Personnel Committee.
Do we have any?
Right here. Exactly.
We're thinking about it.
We did this because we didn't want to miss anything that might come up.
Oh, okay.
There may not always be something.
Right. Okay. I think the issue that, and I don't know which committee is going to discuss it, the SRO.
The SRO.
Yeah, okay, that was the only issue.
Yeah.
That was the only
we one. Put oh, that I'll on there for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, what about the, I saw in the minutes you guys approved the Parks and Rec position, so when does that get?
That's a July 11th.
I know, but when's that going to get advertised?
I think it already has, hasn't it?
No, it hasn't.
No, we actually haven't advertised it. We've talked to a couple of people who I thought were interested in doing it as a part-time job. I think at this point we probably do need to just advertise it and see what we get. We have not. I mean, we tried to find some folks who had a background and have not been entirely successful. But it needs to be done.
The Joint Finance Audit Committee, did you have anything, Gene?
Yeah. The The Finance Committee had several motions on the floor. Public Works needs a new street sweeper, and the Finance Committee reviewed all the criteria on the bids, and we're recommending the council to purchase the Pelican Series NP at the 2008 for $106,964 from Maryland Equipment.
And that's net after the trade-in of our current sweeper.
How old is our current sweeper?
About
10 or 11 years old.
I think you said 10 years.
Is that the lifespan of the...
Yeah, probably is.
And Daryl said this one wasn't a very good sweeper when they bought it.
Well,
you know, they thought it was going to be as...
Yeah.
Really, they wanted to go back to the old style instead of this style.
This style sweeper turns out is actually better for shopping center parking lots and those kinds of things that are fairly level. You get into old streets that have a crown, this kind of sweeper, which is primarily a vacuum device, tends not to work as well and tends to wear faster. The sweeper that we're buying is basically a mechanical rotary brush sweeper that is designed primarily for sweeping streets and probably not good for sweeping parking lots because of the way it's configured. It is essentially the same sweeper that we had before we bought the one we've got now.
Two questions, Mr. Hawk. Then are they planning to keep the old street sweeper then?
Yeah, the old street sweeper, we got a $25,000 trade-in on the old sweeper.
Okay.
So we're getting ready.
And are you buying all the optional equipment?
Oh, we're buying everything, the air conditioning, the stereo, the works. It comes with it. It's standard.
Yep. We do have to provide wheel. The CDs to go with
it. Mr. Hugg, is this a...
mag wheels, the whole bit.
Was this a budgeted item, though?
Yes, this was in the capital.
So, but we still have to vote on it, though?
It was in the budget. It was in the budget.
Well, that's a question, whether you actually have to vote on it or not.
Exactly. I mean, if it's a budgeted item.
It was a budgeted item in the capital budget.
But again, in the budget, we had asked Dave to bring it back to us, so the council wouldn't know.
Okay.
That's the only reason. When we spent that money, we wanted the council to know.
As we work our way through the year, I'd rather have you confer and then approve.
So if it goes wrong, we can be in trouble.
That's right.
So do you want a motion?
I think a motion, on
the same page.
I think a motion would be useful.
I'll make a motion that we purchase the 2007 Pelican Series NP dual street sweeper from Maryland Materials for $106,964 with trade-in.
I'll second it.
Discussion? I just have one question. I mean, maybe it's, again, it's for our citizens, but what we're doing here is we're looking at a fairly expensive piece of equipment. We're saying that it's got a 10-year lifespan, so therefore the town should be budgeting at least $10,000 a year currently for the future. And I don't even know if we project out in 10 years, do we need two street sweepers for the streets? Or how many trucks? I mean, are we projecting every year that we need to put money away so that we can buy this equipment?
We have a... There's two sections in the budget. One is capital equipment. The other one is maintenance and replacement. This could probably come under either or. I would imagine. But for right now, during the 2006 budget cycle, we did know that the sweeper was going to be replaced or needed to be replaced. So we budgeted the money in the capital equipment to make sure that it was there. You bring up a very good point. What's the lifespan? Keep in mind that the sweeper that we have now really isn't suited for the job that it's doing, and it lasted us 11 years. And it lasted because of good maintenance, good operation, and keeping up on things. So The sweeper that we had before was, that thing was 20 years old.
It was an old sweeper.
It was very, very old.
It was a dust devil.
Yeah.
But another thing, too, Doug, and when we did the budget, was the town is so far behind on replacing equipment because we didn't went so long and didn't buy new equipment. It's going to be a while. It's going to take us a while to catch up.
Well, that's why I bring this point up. I mean, this kind of illustrates to me that we, when we buy a pickup truck or we buy a whatever, that somehow we have to say, okay, this is typically going to last 5 or 10 years, and that we got to start budgeting for.
And I think that's what staff is doing now. I think they're looking at lifespans and they're budgeting. They're kind of using an amortization just, you know, to get it to its lifespan, knowing that, okay, this is what we have to put away. This is when it's going to need replacing. So we're making pretty good strides in that area.
All right. Call the vote.
Okay, 9.
We got a motion.
I'm sorry.
I got 3 other things too.
Okay.
Mullen?
Aye.
Councilman
Jervinet? Aye.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Presley, aye.
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 It's a clean sweep.
You had to say that.
The Finance Committee also made a motion to recommend the SRO officer for the Smyrna School District by a vote of 4-1. I don't know. Actually, we recommended 2 things, and Councilman Thornton was going to go back to the school district to see if they would accept either one. I don't know if you wanted to bring that to a motion or just wait. Okay. We also made a motion to transfer $2,000 from the Parks and Rec maintenance and equipment line in the budget to the special programs. Because of the work that the Parks and Rec Committee has done this year, this summer, with all the programs, the special programs line in the budget was getting a little thin. So we decided to transfer a couple thousand dollars into that line to keep that moving along.
I'd like to say at that point, too, with us getting so thin with help during those couple of weeks with the people in the hospital, we did have citizens step forward and give us a hand, and Conrad and Margaret are here. Pat and Julie Cahill came out. Kathy Melvin came out. I know I'm missing a couple people. There was one lady over at the park when we had the rock wall and the moon bounce. I don't even know who she was, and she came up and she's. We needed to have an adult stand by each of the like moon bounces. The kids couldn't go in unless someone was there. We were short one person, so she volunteered and came up and chipped in. So it's been a really gratifying experience, and I think this past week they had an event over at the Boys and Girls Club, and they had a clown magic show. And a DJ, and it was well attended, and it was really great to see the kids enjoy it.
One comment while we're talking about the Parks and Rec. Some people have come up to me and asked me a question about what Parks and Rec can do for the older population. That we're doing a lot of things for the youth, and I commend that. I think just to be community-wide, I was just thinking about the senior citizens in the community or the older population. If there's, and I know that we had a discussion with the opera people, the opera house people, and whether or not we as a town could sponsor something at the opera house that is targeted toward a more senior population.
Now that we're going into the winter months, I've been sitting in on the meetings and helping them out, and they do have that in the back of their mind. They are having a oldies, the 31st, it's a Friday. All the events have been on a Thursday night, but this event will be Friday night, the 31st, and it'll be out here at the Town Plaza, and it's an oldies party. A band from Wilmington, a very good band, is coming down, 50s, 60s, 70s music. So that one...
That's not old.
That's not old?
That's not old.
We got to go older? And they're talking about doing a Smyrna Idol, which will be hopefully at the Opera House, and a old-fashioned flea market around the middle of September.
Good.
They'll come up. There's a meeting tomorrow night, so the next council meeting, those things will come forward.
Okay.
What
else? Also, I've got two more things. Okay. Sorry. You put it on the agenda. We also recommend, it came up to a motion passed 4-0, to transfer $45,000 into the library fund for planning and analysis from the received from the Kent County. I can't read my own writing.
Reciprocal borrowing.
Reciprocal borrowing. That's why I couldn't read it. Can't pronounce it. Reciprocal borrowing fund from the county. I don't know if you.
We received $45,000.
We received $45,000.
So we need to put that in the budget for planning.
For the library, the county for the last two or three years has been what's a good word? I don't want to say holding.
Interesting.
Has built a surplus in the reciprocal borrowing program, which is being terminated this year, replaced with a new funding mechanism. There was, I'm going to say off the top of my head, a couple hundred thousand dollars in the reciprocal borrowing program that was due to the four county libraries, Milford, Harrington, Dover, and Smyrna. Our share of that reciprocal borrowing pot was $45,000 and some odd change, and we recommended to the finance committee that fund, since it's basically library money, that those monies should be put in the library budget as a line for planning and analysis in the event that we move forward with building a new library. So at this point, it's not an authorization necessary to spend, but we need a place to put the money.
So do you need a motion to do that? Or?
I think it probably would be a good idea to have a motion to put it in that
for
line.
For both of those two budget amendments.
Question. I'm not saying, but do we have anything in our package about any of this?
No.
No, it came up in the...
It came up in the Finance Committee meeting, and the minutes for that meeting aren't done yet. That's why they weren't in your packet.
I do know. Okay.
Well, okay, there's three things
okay,
we're voting
hold
on.
Okay, hold on.
Madam Mayor, I'm sorry. A couple of council members have raised a question that concerned me about FOIA issues that we got. I've not been following the discussion, but apparently we've gone far afield of the committee report that we were.
Okay, on 9B, number 2, finance, joint finance and audit committee, that's what he has that under. Bottom of the first page.
These actions that are being discussed right now?
The recommendations, yes.
They're part of the Finance Audit Committee report?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we need to list each recommendation? Or is it violation of FOIA if we're voting on it?
I can't really tell you where to draw that line, you know.
I guess there's one way to find out.
I don't think you want to get into a point where you're listing every single little tiny thing.
Right, exactly. Okay. All right, I move the weeks.
Last, well, how about we just do it blanket, just make a motion to accept the Finance Committee recommendations.
Are you finished with the recommendations?
No, we got one more. Rainy day account. The town of Smyrna has a rainy day account. It contains about $2.2 million in change. I don't have the exact amount. The resolution that established a rainy day account was very specific. It said that the rainy day account would contain two mil. Right now, it has 2.2 in it. What the Finance Committee is recommending that we sweep $200,000 from the rainy day account and put it in the capital projects account. Basically, the rainy day account is an interest-bearing type account, and the extra money came from that. So to keep it in line with the resolution that established the account in the first place, I say we would like to sweep it. We recommend that it be swept and the money transferred into the capital projects account.
That was also recommended by the auditors, wasn't it?
Yes. So I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendations of the Finance Committee on these five items.
Don't want to do it separately. You're going to vote no?
Because I voted wrong.
I think the issue here is, and I tend to agree with it, I don't exactly know what I'm voting on. I wish I hadn't seen it.
Just not at all.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back to what Mr. Thornton said. If I can't see it, I can't feel it. Okay.
Mr. Thornton said that?
Yeah,
okay.
Man, that's what he said.
Long time ago.
I don't disagree. I just wish. I think what we ought to do is maybe.
We're talking about this much money.
Well, I think we ought to put this on the agenda for next meeting with.
I don't think there's anything on there that's urgent. Is there, Gene?
Well, no, there isn't. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as a rainy day account, it's not leaving the town.
Right, but I just think we just need to see it in writing.
Okay.
The town needs to see it in writing. So.
You're complying with the rules that the council put on that account in the first place. That's all it is. And we're putting it in the capital projects account basically for a place to put it.
Madam Mayor, if I could, just for a little guidance, what I've maybe it's this town that used to do this, but you have your committee reports as you did earlier, and then later on you'd have action items. And the committee, where the committee was recommending an action number one in their minutes, there would be like in bold print what the action recommended is. And then when they got to that item on the agenda, it would be listed. So under Joint Finance Audit Committee report, you'd have sub A or B or C or whatever, what the committee was asking the council to vote on.
With information in the past.
Councilman Mullen, is there anything that is pressing that we do have to vote on?
No.
Let me ask this, Dink. Why are we taking it out of the rainy day fund?
Resolution says
because the resolution establishes the rainy day fund at a certain amount.
You're over that amount,
and that it's just don't from the that interest that's right. accrued over last.
Don't even go
4 years, 5 years.
Don't print that.
Mr. Jaywork, I think one of the problems that we run into, and this goes back to your advice to us on the whole FOIA question. Many of these committees meet up to and as close as within a few days of the coming council meeting, and they have recommendations, suggestions, whatever that they want to bring to council. The difficulty is that with the sort of new spin on FOIA, we can't get them on the agenda 7 days in advance because the committee hasn't met 7 days in advance. So we're sort of cut in this situation of, okay, now we've got a recommendation from a committee that needs to go to council, but we're kind of forced to now put it off for at least 2 weeks, or we have to put some kind of a holding position on here, which is really what this is. I mean, even the next item that's going to come up, the SRO thing, the final decision, if we've gotten the final decision on the SRO, is only a handful of days old. It would not have been able to be on the agenda under the current
provisions as relate to what when you can put things on agendas and modify them and whatever. You know, we used to be able to, you know, as late as Monday afternoon, Monday at 1 o'clock.
Let me respond to that. As I said when that opinion first came down, to me, my interpretation of FOIA, and I think it's the correct interpretation, is that if the committee does not meet until 4 days before the council meets and makes a recommendation, there's no way that you could have gotten that on the agenda any sooner, and therefore it came up. Even if you only got 4 days or 24 hours, you can still add it to the agenda as an amended item. That, I believe, is the correct interpretation. What the Attorney General's office has said is that if it's not going to be the end of the world, you know, if it can be put off for 2 weeks, you're under some obligation to hold it off for 2 weeks. Now, you know, he's an attorney, I'm an attorney. You know, you can. I guess my advice is that if it's not really important and it can wait and you want to play it safe, just go ahead and do it the way he says. But, you know, I think as my interpretation originally was that if it does not arise before the 7 days, as in the situation you just described, that you should just post an amended agenda. And that would, you know, your choices are either put it off for another 2 weeks, and which is what I said when this first came down. This is simply going to gum up the wheels of the machinery of government, or do what FOIA says and amend the agenda and post it, and the public can read the agenda and come to the meeting and participate and listen.
I agree with Terry. If we have a problem, we'll throw Terry to him.
You know, if what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to file a complaint with the Attorney General's office. We're going to respond to it. Maybe if the town wants to, you'll pay me to take it up into the Court of Chancery and get a ruling. Or maybe we'll just say, okay, you know, you're right. Okay. Well,
in this particular instance, I we're all agreeing this does not rise to the occasion of urgency. So.
Well, no, it doesn't.
And it doesn't really make any difference to the town financially. We're still earning interest on that $200,000.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, it does make it difficult to conduct the business of the town in this fashion because, I mean, Dave is right. I mean, there are committees. I know the Finance Committee is going to meet, and once we get into the budget, we're going to be meeting every single week.
Well,
I'm
asking is if just something, if I have something in writing, know what I'm voting on. You know what I mean? Because I know, you know, when I was on the Finance, I did come to the meeting, and now I might show up on every other one.
What you're expressing is not a really a FOIA concern as much as the councilman's concern. That you,
right.
I would withdraw my motion. I would concur with whoever that, you know, there's no urgency to have to do these tonight, so we'll put them in some kind of a memo form or something before the next meeting, and that's fine.
That brings up an interesting point. Now that we're going to do this, you don't have the minutes to the Finance Committee because they're not done, and I'm not finding fault with that, but that just gives more credence to taping and having recording of the committee meetings, so we can have complete notes, complete minutes of not only these meetings but also all the committee meetings. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense not to do that. Not if we have the wherewithal to do it. Because right now, the only thing I have is those notes that I took myself. And if you ever saw the way I take notes.
Well, I guess
not the greatest thing in the world.
Mine aren't much better, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But you took a vote. These are recommendations for which you took a vote.
Yes.
Okay. So the minutes will definitely reflect a vote of the committee. So you don't need to record.
Hopefully.
But the minutes should reflect any vote you take.
Okay, guys, I think we've kind of beat this one up. Let's move on. Are you okay, Gene?
Sure.
Okay. I believe we're on 9-3-A. Is that correct? Okay. School resource officer position.
Okay, since this is the season for reruns, I'm going to run this by you again. We had a negotiating session with the Smyrna School District July 25th, 2007. There was a committee put together involving myself, Regina Brown, Gary Stoller, and Chief Baldwin to meet with the school district, Debbie Wicks, and Assistant Superintendent Buddy Lloyd to talk about if they could come up with any more money than the $75,000 they were proposing for an additional help in the schools with a school resource officer. The results of that meeting was that they could not find any more money. I took that back to the Personnel Committee, the Finance Committee, the Public Safety Committee, and presented them with our options. The consensus of all three committees was for me to go back to her and offer a either a one-year contract or the possibility of a three-year contract with a 3% incremental change or increase in the second and third year. I had a conversation with Dr. Wicks last week, presented that to her, and she was meeting with the school board on August 15th. I spoke with her this morning. She said that the board had approved the three-year contract with a 3% incremental change and that they were okay with that. At this point, I think the committees have already made their recommendation. It was just a matter of which one to choose. And my recommendation is to accept this and have Chief Baldwin develop a contract with the school district to add a 22nd officer to the department.
So I'll make the motion.
Is that also a motion, though?
Is that your motion? Or
I will make a motion that we add another officer to the Smyrna Police Department, bringing the total staff up to 22. part of that is the high school will have a school resource officer assigned all the time, and the second officer will become a youth aid officer who will be devoted to dealing with problems in the middle school and the elementary schools, as well as other youth programs within the community.
Second. I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
Discussion. Oh, yeah. Definitely discussion. Most of the people up on this Diaz knows my opinion on this matter. First and foremost, the school resource officer program is a terrific program. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It'd be terrific to have somebody in every single school. Bottom line is we can't afford it. The other bottom line is we can't afford two. We can't afford the one that we got, for that matter. For the last 3 years, Smyrna School District has paid the town $15,000. For an officer to be in the high school full-time throughout the school year. It costs the town of Smyrna a little under $100,000 a year to put an officer on the road. And again, for the last 2 or 3 years, we have been financing it. And I'm sorry, as much as I like the program, as much as I agree with the program, the town of Smyrna accounts for about 35% of the population of the district. We don't account for 100%. If we did, yes, by all means, then let the town fund it, but we don't. The other towns in the area, the county, the two counties, the town of Clayton and the town of Kenton, do not contribute one dime. And I'm sorry, but I don't think that's fair to the people that pay the taxes in this town. And this is a real hard decision to speak out, because it is a good program, and it's going to sound like I'm not for the safety of the kids in our school, but I am. I was a police officer for quite a few years, and I know how important it is. And I know what a great job the people that we have in these positions do in those schools. They do a fantastic job, absolutely fantastic. But I can't with good conscience expect the people of Smyrna to get $60,000 in return for $200,000 spent. Can't do it. I'm sorry.
Okay, Gene, I have a question. If these resource officers were not there and there was a problem at the high school, which I understand that the resource officer spends more time not doing resources, but actually following through on problems. If they weren't there, wouldn't the town of Smyrna's police officers have to respond anyway?
The Smyrna School District is a state-run entity. It is not a town of Smyrna entity. It is a state-run entity. They have their own funding. They have it's a political subdivision of the state. And I'm sorry, but the state should take responsibility. And I'm not saying that the town of Smyrna should not do the work. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is the town of Smyrna should not be responsible to 100% fund the program. Somewhere along the line, the state and the other entities that are responsible for putting these kids in the school should take the responsibility also. I'm not saying that we shirk our duties, no. But I don't think we should be 100% responsible for it.
Well, I agree with you with that. But also in our packet is a letter that Mr. Hugg sent to quite a few of the representatives, and he broke it down. And
Clayton and Clayton Kenton also.
Yes, Clayton, Kenton, Kent County, New Castle County. And he broke it down proportionately, requesting that there be help with this. So Mr. Hugg has made the effort for that, but
he wrote a great letter, explained exactly, and quite frankly, my recommendation to council is to table this matter until we get a response.
Okay, well, we have a motion.
Hold on, I got some discussion. I want to echo. I also want to say that 2 years ago, the school district was approached to help us with the school guard program. And we were robustly told that's our responsibility. Now, in the spirit of cooperation, again, 70% of the people that come into our town are not citizens or tax-paying citizens of our town. But they come into our town. Their buses use our roads. They our infrastructure is taxed because of whatever their schools use, and we're responsible for providing. Yes, they say, well, they pay for it, but there are infrastructure costs. And my point is that I think the school district should step up and say, you know what, Smyrna, you're right. 70% of our students don't, or the households don't pay taxes in your town. And I don't know about this program. I wish we didn't have it. I didn't have a police officer in my school.
Well, things have changed a lot.
But what I'm saying is, but there's also something called security. The hospital I go to doesn't have police officers in. They have security. Now, also maybe they could spend the money on counseling. Or counselors, or security counselors. I don't know the whole issue there, but I do know if the problem there is securing a school. There are other ways to secure a school other than having bona fide police officers patrolling a school district or a school hall. But be that as it may, that's another issue for another day. I think the issue now is whether or not the school district is going to step up and say, yes, our budget is such that Smyrna should pay with the school children, the percentage of the school children that occupy the Smyrna School District.
I think at this time, all that the council and the town can hope that these other sit towns, Kenton and all, step up and pay their portion. You know, the problem is, I think, again, is we, as myself as a councilman, I don't have a choice because I don't want to take it away from the kids. Even though it's a problem with the state job of handling it, but I don't want to take away from our kids.
The one comment I want to make there is if you think back to Columbine, Columbine happened the one day that the police officer was not there at the school.
I think that's I think that's not a good example.
No, it's not a good example.
And what we're talking about is we're talking about securing a school. Why do we need to secure a school with one of our police officers? Why do we need to pay for that police officer when 70% of the students don't belong in, or aren't of our town? They're not citizens of our town. So that's the issue, Pat. It's not Columbine or anything like that at all. So if the school wants to have a secure school, then it's up to them to figure out how to do that. Now, they're using our police to do it.
They're going to do it anyway. Yeah. Our police is going to have to go there anyway.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that are there other alternatives? And can we say as a community and to our state representatives, look, this is a state entity, as Gene pointed out.
And at the same time, look at the police officers as a person that they can look up to. So they're a mentor for them, too.
The value of this program of this type, and it's statewide, is that beyond the security in the school, which is a very small piece of it, really, it's more a mentoring program, being able to be aware of potential problems with youth in the community, whether they belong to us or not, and to be able to deal with those before a problem occurs and gets out of control. So it's more than just security. To put things in perspective with respect to cost, we looked at different communities and what they were paying and what they were getting paid. And for example, in Capital School District, there are two schools that have officers assigned to them, and the Capital School District pays 25% of their salary, which isn't a great deal. In schools where the state police are assigned, they are charged $60,000 per officer, which sounds like a lot of money, but it barely covers the salary of the officer. In other communities, for example, Camden, Wyoming, they have a new officer assigned to the middle school, and they're paying $48,000. So it's all over the map. And I agree with the concept that it is not necessarily a local problem. It is really a statewide problem. And Dr. Wicks and I discussed that very issue. And she and other superintendents are going to bring that to their legislatures as well. I think if we attack this problem from several fronts, i.e. the League of Local Governments, getting them on board with some of the issues that the communities have in financing these programs, getting our legislators and our local legislators involved in this process, and having the school superintendents involved, I think we can make some headway in having the state bear some of this cost. Because, as Gene says, it is a state entity. The school districts are state entities. However, it's still a local problem from the standpoint that there are students, whether they're 35% or 50% or 25%. When they are in our community, they become our students.
I'm sorry, but I disagree with that.
Okay.
They're not our students. They're the school district students. They happen to be in our town. But our students are the ones who live here. I guess the notion is that, again, the Smyrna School District really is not the Smyrna School District. It's the Northern Kent County, Southern Newcastle County School District. It doesn't really belong to Smyrna, and that's a misnomer. And I just wish the school district itself would understand that we're just part of it, the school district. We're not the school district, although most of their buildings happen to be residing in our town.
This is a bigger problem than this council will ever solve tonight, at least. My point, and I agree with Larry 100%, I would not want to see any child harmed in any way because of any kind of budgetary problems or concerns or anything else. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, Smyrna, the town of Smyrna stepped up 3 years ago, and they established this program. They did what was right, and what they were responsible for doing. Now it's time. It's time for the other towns, the counties, and the state to step up with Smyrna and do the right thing. Keep the program going. Keep the program funded. All the rest of the towns in the state, I'm sure, had the same problem. And this is a way to bring this to the forefront and get something done.
So we have a motion on the floor. We have a second, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. At this point,
now the motion. Please restate the motion.
Hiring the 22nd.
The motion is to hire the additional officer, bringing the police force up to 22, with the notion that one officer will be assigned full-time to the Smyrna High School. The second officer will be a youth aid officer who will be responsible for issues in the middle school, elementary school, as well as other youth aid activities in the community.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Yes.
No.
Motion passes.
Question? Where's the money coming from?
The $2,000.
The $200,000 that we... interest-bearing money.
Hey.
No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's a rainy day fund.
Just voted for something we didn't really talk about funding and where it's coming.
Well,
we've talked
the
about
funding
this
is
for
the
$75,000
from the school district. You just voted what? For something that's not in the budget.
We voted for a lot of things that are not necessarily things that probably should have been voted on or paid for, or bought anyway. At least this is something that's useful to this community. You voted no. I voted yes. It's a vote. We'll find the money. We find money for everything else, don't we?
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, we finished with that.
Mr. Jaywork, can I ask you a question? We just took action on something that was finalized this morning. Is that correct, Mr. Thornton?
Yes.
But a few minutes ago, we refused to take action on something that was finalized at a committee meeting last Monday or Tuesday.
No, I think nobody
wanted
to vote on it.
It just strikes me that we're not being consistent.
Well, there is urgency in this because school's going back in.
Well, we did make a recommendation because we sent Larry and said if this happens, we would do it. And going back to the only reason I would like to see something I'm voting in right now.
Probably should have.
I don't know.
Okay.
Try to.
I just want to raise that issue. Never mind. Thank you.
It was on the agenda.
Okay.
I do have a question, Terry. This item specifically was on the agenda, I don't know, about a month ago, I guess, and it probably should have been under old business. I don't know. What happens in that case? What's your opinion as far as that goes? Can something that was brought up in a prior meeting, even though it might not be listed on a current agenda,
at the very least, it would be grounds for an objection, what do you call it, technical violation, and, you know, it could be enough that the Attorney General's office would rule against it or the court would overturn it. I mean, I think if you know it's going to come up, it should be on the agenda, and I think the fact that it was discussed a month ago is not sufficient. Okay. Maybe I am confused here. I'm looking at this, and unlike the other thing, item 9B2, where it talked about Joint Finance Audit Committee and didn't have any specifics, this agenda item says Public Safety Committee. It says very specifically school resource officer position. So I assumed that anybody reading that would know that whether you're going to hire this person or take some action on it, you know, that was a little more clear. And then, Mr. Hugg, you mentioned, according to the asterisk, this was added on 8/14, which was almost a week ago. Is that right? So, I mean, your comment that this was done this morning...
Well, it was
on the agenda.
It was added in a timely fashion, based upon the information I had gotten from each committee, the Personnel Committee, the Finance Committee, So we were going to discuss it anyway, but I got the final word from Dr.
My point is simply that at least 6 days ago, the public was put on notice that this issue was going to be specifically discussed at tonight's meeting, even though Mr. Thornton didn't have the final details.
Right.
Okay, 9B5, Utility Committee from August 1st, first reading, Ordinance Number 012-07, Chapter 70, Utilities, Article 2, Electric, Article 3, Water and Sewer, and Article 1, General.
Okay.
Well, how about if I move to accept the first reading?
Which is really all you need to do this evening. We probably need to discuss this in more detail at the Utility Committee when it next meets, but that's fine. That's all you really need to do. So we have a motion. That's cool.
Okay, so we have a motion. It's been
second.
Okay. Any discussion? Nope.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Presley?
Presley, aye.
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 Okay, motion passes. 9B. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
9B5. Where am I? 9B.
9D.
Authorized town manager to sign the SCADA agreement with Kent County.
SCADA agreement. You have in the packet a memo from Kent County Levy or Kent County Public Works to the Levy Court and Levy Court's approval of the proposal. In 25 words or less, the Kent County Public Works Department has asked to relocate an antenna that provides communications between their remote controls on their pump stations and their SCADA system. The SCADA system is basically an automatic control mechanism for, pumps and motors and what have you. They've come to the town and asked and given us this lease agreement, asked that they be allowed to put this antenna on our Carter Road water tower for a period of 10 years. They've offered to pay us $2,500 as kind of a courtesy rental, if you will. I mean, this basically is totally freestanding and draws about 2 amps. It feeds a signal device. The president of Levy Court has been authorized by Levy Court to sign the agreement. That's what the handwritten note on the second page of the package is all about. But I need your authorization to sign this agreement.
Now, are they going to rent the space on our towers?
No.
I mean, it's not like...
No.
We're going to just... Yeah.
This is kind of a courtesy...
It's an open-end lease for $2,500.
Yeah, basically.
A year or just $2,500?
Just $2,500.
Okay.
And my question is, this: as I read the information, it's a pretty critical item for them.
It is a critical item for them.
So it sounds like it's worth about $50,000 to me.
At least for another second officer. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, I'm thinking, you know.
We could have a whole lot of fun with Hans on this.
We could. I mean, it's up to you if you want to, you know, jerk the county.
Do we need an air easement to use our airspace?
Just to, are we providing the power?
We're providing the power, which is why, basically, because it's not worth putting a meter on a 2-amp transmitter, Hans said, you know, what's a good number? And I said, I don't know. And he said, "How's $2,500? It sounded like a good number. It's, you know,
got something out of it."
Yeah, I mean, it's not free, which is, you know, he didn't want to, you know, not pay us something. So,
I'll make a motion that we authorize town manager to sign the SCADA agreement with Kent County in reference to the antenna on the Carter Road water tank.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
I still think $50,000 is a good number.
I like that. Well, yeah.
$2,500 for 10 years is a good deal for electricity.
$250 a year for 2 amps?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's about the price of a 60-watt light bulb.
I mean, yeah.
It's...
Mosquito control used to pay me like $25 for the season.
All right, let's say this: the amp gets blown off, or the antenna gets blown off. Who pays for this?
It's their problem.
Their problem. Your antenna. Okay, so you got to take care of all of it.
Okay. All right.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Presley.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Yes. I concur with my colleague on my right. Yes.
Councilman Brown.
Yes.
Motion passed. Okay. E, executive session to discuss pending litigation and pursuant to section 10046 of the FOIA.
Reference. Madam Mayor, is it appropriate? That's what I was going to ask. Can we have other council business first, or is it too late?
Okay.
And this is, I just want to bring up one thing, Mr. Hugg, and this has been asked. Is it possible that we have some type of work toward paying our bill online, the electric bill online?
We have we've looked into that capability. Our computer system allows it. The difficulty is that you basically need a dedicated person to do it. I mean, it's something we're working towards. You can pay with a credit card, but you can't pay online with a credit card.
Well, let me ask something. Do you think that if we had that type of capabilities of paying online, it might reduce the lates or people? Because we're getting a more higher commuter population. And I know we give, what, about 15 days notice from the time of bill?
Your bill comes out roughly on the 5th or the 6th. It's considered late after the 20th.
And the other notion is that, you know, in essence of Dr. Shervinek's environmental concerns, how about going to electronic statements also versus the mailing of the bills?
I don't know how you would deal with the people who do that.
Like when they fill out their application for electricity or utilities, they provide an email address and that your bill would just be mailed electronically.
I think a lot of customers would have a lot of customers probably don't have computer capability, particularly the ones who are late.
What about
the may not, you know, I don't know whether the ability to pay online would significantly reduce the number of
continuous people over and over
who are late. Yeah.
What about providing a
credit card? Dave, I got one question about a thing in the package from Janet Vince. 50 West Commerce Street. Is that where this is? Because on one piece of paper it says 50 West Commerce Street. On our code enforcer it says 50 West South Street.
It's 50 West Commerce.
So it is West Commerce Street.
West Commerce.
Because I'm looking for 50 West South Street.
There's not.
Is that why you got all wet?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that the house across the corner over here on?
That's your address.
That's my address. So it is 50 West Commerce Street.
It's the building next to Sheridan's.
Okay.
So I have any other council business?
The only other one I'll bring that up later.
Later, okay. We have a motion to go into executive session.
I'll make a motion that we go into executive session.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Councilman Presley.
Presley, aye.
Mayor Sumba.
Aye.
Councilman Thornton.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen.
Aye.
Councilman Shervinek.
Aye.
Councilman Brown.
Aye.
Councilman Woman White.
Aye.
Okay.
Are we going downstairs, Mr. Hogg, or are we staying up here?
We're going to stay here.
We're going to stay here? Okay.
Kick everybody out.
We can. Yeah.
That means Mr. Clevenger.
Hey, how are you?
Just fine.
You didn't think I'd remember you're saying
the check. It's Bernard Arbor.
That's good. That's good.
But I mean,
am I right or wrong?
Yeah. She gets a $50.
Oh, I'm holding no more than that.
You gonna check in?
I know. How do you get my handshake?
You gonna check in today? Somebody else is
mad at me. Not very long.
What time of the year?
Appreciate it. Thank you both.
Okay.
Third, it will be. I don't have my phone, so I'll swing by there.
Well, committee meetings are almost always at 5.
They must pay well if Smyrna comes on time.
They deal every month on
the
wardrobe. I believe it's at 6 o'clock on the 28th.
I don't know.
Yeah, it should be.
Yes.
Carol's out there. Ask Carol.
I'm fine, how are you?
You must be paying well.
Nicole, how are you?
Yeah, how are you?
I would ask for at least.
I'm happy to fall asleep.
No, it's good.
That's where the same shift
This is the mock FCM.
If you have a job that has a uniform, you wouldn't have that problem.
Sometimes she's doing all of
them. Go out.
Does
go outside?
He does. Oh yeah. I'm serious. Why do you always have
to call? Carol, only one thing in that resolution that we need to change is that date.
I'm wondering what the hell I'm going to wear every day.
Suitably impressed tonight.
What's that?
We're 5 minutes in the morning.
He was on his cue tonight, I tell you.
My wife saw that.
Playing the crowd tonight.
I thought I'd beat you to that one.
I love being on active duty.
Yeah, you wasted all that energy.
And everything's already sewn on. Putting your bad on. And now his new uniforms are just wash and wear. You don't even have to starch them. Oh, man, they created the new shoes. You don't have to put any polish on. They created lace.
Lord.
No more kiwi on the carpet. Oh, my wife used to go crazy.
I remember putting the wax on and then
melting it. I used to get kiwi on my boots.
Yeah.
The carpet, it was just that my wife would scream.
I just heard over here, Columbine.
Now,
wait a second.
I think Mrs. Johnson called again today. Apparently, I've got to find out one of those properties. She knew. The rules of the map. Three properties titled in Johnson's name. Two of them are doing the title of a guy named Fletcher Johnson. I've got to find out one. She's saying he can't transfer.